run. And I just, we're right at the bottom. We're at the bottom of this, that front page that you have there. I know yours doesn't look like mine, but notice at the bottom, and why don't you turn to 2 Corinthians 13:5. I'll use that with the verse to start with. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Dr. Brooke showed me this verse years ago at Bible College. John Brooke, what a great Bible teacher he was. Notice what it says there. Examine yourself. I'm in 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians, there's 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves. In other words, take a look. When the doctor examines you, he's checking your heart out, isn't he? Take a heart check. Take not a physical, but a spiritual check, okay? Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. In other words, if you're a reprobate, you're not saved. And if you're saved, Jesus is in you. Over 90 times in the book of Ephesians, that word I-N, we're in Christ. The moment I trusted Christ as my Savior, he came inside me. Notice your paper. Some things to ask yourself if you would examine your standing with God in the matter of your salvation or new birth. Number one, the first question, have I understood that I'm a sinner by my birth and by my very nature, that I need to repent to turn from that sin? And we remember last week we talked about Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin, and sin entered, and so death passed upon all men for all sin. And we talked about how all men, no matter who they are, they're sinner and they're condemned. Remember that? And so what does a person got to do to go to hell? He's already on their way to hell. They're condemned already. How do you not get condemned? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We wrote John 3:18. And then number two, when and where did I call upon the Lord Jesus for my soul's salvation? And we talked about that. I said we ought to all know and remember the place. I told you where I got saved, over there in Sherman Street in Toledo, Ohio, 1034 and a half, in front of an old green couch. Just like I know where I was born I was born in Toledo, Ohio, on March 22nd, 1949, in Toledo, Ohio, amen? Toledo. And just like you know the time of your physical birth, you should also know the time of your spiritual birth. Now, I cannot tell you the exact hour that I trusted Christ as my Savior, but I know the place. And I know where it was, and I know the year was 1969, and I believe it was in October. So, number two, when and where did I call upon Jesus for my soul salvation? And look at Ephesians 2. Look at verse 11 through 13. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called the uncircumcision, by which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time you were without Christ. Yeah. Tommy, before I got saved, I was without Christ. I used to walk out of the bars at 2:30 at night and look up in the sky and say, God, there's got to be more to life than this. And I was without Christ. Fortunately, though, I believe there was a God, and he showed me that he revealed Christ to me. Amen? Amen? And so that I was without God, without Christ, and being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope. Those people are I don't care if they're a millionaire, a billionaire. They don't have Christ. They've got no hope. By the way, do you ever notice real wealthy people sometimes are the most miserable people? Money doesn't make you happy. I'll say that again. Money does not make you happy. I've met a lot. It helps pay the bills, don't it? But real joy only comes from Christ. And the reason I'm saying that, all the time you're hearing about these millionaires and all these famous people that got all kinds of money, beautiful homes, they drug out, they overdose. I'll get one to your group. This is more of a medium, older group. Elvis Presley. He had everything in the world. Yeah, he did. Yet he overdosed and died. A lot of your stars you see in the news today, they're miserable. They got all the money in the world, and yet they're still miserable. Why are they? They don't have Christ. Look up here. In every person's heart, there's a void. And until Christ comes in there, that void stays there forever. And so, notice it says, no hope without God in this world, in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes are far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Boy, thank God for that precious blood that was shed for our sins. Amen. And so, I call this the where and the when and the where. But then the last, number three, you ought to know when and where you got saved. You ought to know why you should be saved. And then number three, did I cry out to him for salvation? Or was there some other purpose for my prayer? You ought to know why you asked Christ to save you. The reason I asked Christ to save me, because I knew I was going to hell. And I didn't want to go to hell. I realized I was a lost soul going to hell. And I said, oh, my lands, I've got religion, but I don't have salvation. Let me give you he's got a perfect scripture there. Look at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Now, you that in Romans class, you see this, we use this scripture. Luke 18, verse 9. Talks about two men went down to the temple to pray. And he's on Luke 18, 9, he spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up in the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee, you know, that's that religious guy that thinks he knows it all. The goody two-shoes. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee I'm not as other men are, extortioners. He saw that publican next to him. Like, I'm glad I'm not like this old bum next to me. Adulterers, even as this publican. Boy, that guy had a lot of love, didn't he? I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, staying afar off, would not lift so much his eyes unto the heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, one man came before God right, another man came before God wrong. Notice your paper. Did I cry out to him for salvation, or was there another purpose? I've pastored now since 1980, so that gives me a little bit of experience. See, now it's 2008. Outside of 11 months, I pastored for close to 28 years. Amen? So I've got a little experience. And I've seen people down through the years, even before I pastored, I led a lot of people to Christ, and I've had seen a lot of people say the sinner's prayer. But, Brother Mel, you're a soul winner. Here's what you got to watch for, Brother Mel, when you're winning people to Christ. Sometimes people will have all kinds of problems in their life. They might have physical problems. They might have some kind of disease, maybe cancer or something might be. And they're saying, God, save me. But really what they're wanting God to do is save them from their cancer or their sickness, whatever it might be. They might have all kinds of marital problems, problems with their husband, problems with their wife, their children. And they'll say, oh, God, save my home. They're not really caring about their eternal soul. They're just caring about the now and now, They're not worried about the by and by. They're worried about the now and now. Are you with me? Or they'll say, God, I need a job or something. And a lot of times, many times people ask or they just want to become a religious person, become part of a church. None of those get you to heaven. None of those get to heaven. You must, when you come to Christ, you must say, I know I need you. Lord, I'm a lost sinner on my way to hell. And dear Jesus, please save my soul from hell. Take me to heaven when I die. You got to know that I don't have a cup. But when you're thirsty, you take a drink of water, right? Because you have a need. Jesus said he was a living water. You drink of him, you'll never thirst again. And so when you ask Christ to save you, were you asking Christ to save you because you wanted to save your soul from hell? Or were you asking him just to save you because you had some things going in your life at the time that you wanted to make it better? And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, you would be amazed at the people. I think more than 50% of the people most times have false professions. It's scary. Because many times, unless your church really gets in the Bible, a lot of churches, I think, they're lucky. Now, Bethel's a Bible church, and therefore we have higher numbers. But if you're not in a real Bible church, Brian, the numbers would probably be so, membership, even though they're supposed to be saved, would probably be very minimal. Amen, Brother Kerry. And so that's why God calls Baptist gospel preachers to preach the word, to bring the word of God. And I was in a Baptist church and still lost. I went to church with Rosie, and the preacher took me in the back room after church was over. And I knew I needed something, Mildred. I didn't know what I needed, but I knew I needed something because I wasn't like none of those people. And but that doesn't save you.
That's right.
And I said a prayer and got in church with him, and he baptized me. And hallelujah, I'm glad I did. But to be honest with you, a year later, I realized for the first time in my life, I needed more than religion.
Yes.
See, most people are clinging to religion. Let me give you an example. You'll say to people, Brother Bobby, when you're witnessing, Brother Ray, when you witness, you'll say to people, are you saved? They'll say, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Lutheran. Are you with me? They'll say, my daddy was a deacon. My daddy was a preacher. Hello, are you with me? My mama taught Sunday school. I'm the third generation in this church. Are you still with me? They still haven't told me they're saved. I was baptized when I was 5. How many are with? Yeah. But how many, and they actually believe they're going to heaven because they're holding on to those certain things of life. I want you to turn your page. So what I'm saying is you ought to know every person should know the when and the where and the why of their salvation. See, sincerity and religion is not salvation. You know the greatest example, and I'll preach on it this morning, the two thieves on the cross. I'm going to preach on it this morning. The one guy said, hey, save us. He actually used the word, save us and get us down from here. He wasn't caring about his eternal soul. But the other one said, Lord, we deserve what we're getting. Please remember me. One got saved, one didn't get saved. They both cried out to Christ. They both put an issue and a plea before the Lord. But one man's heart was for his soul, the other man was for his flesh. Are you getting what I'm trying to tell you? Look at your, could you briefly write in the box below the when and where you were saved? Did anybody do that? How many did that? Let me see. Oh, great. If you didn't do it, I hope you'll do that. And I was 20 years old. I was saved at 1034 and a half Sherman Street in North Toledo, Ohio, in 1969 in front of an old green couch. And I believe it was the month of October. Well, I know it was. It was near Halloween. Does anybody else want to stand and tell me what you wrote, Brother Coolidge?
I saved on here at Bethel Baptist Church on April 20th, 1980.
Woo!
Joe Pantalone led me to the Lord, and I made a public profession of faith that day. I was 29 years old. Pastor Rick Henry was a pastor, and he preached a sermon called Jesus is a Heartbeat Away.
Amen! Great, Coolidge. Let's give him a hand. Anybody else? Anybody else write one? Tom.
I was saved in a Billy Graham crusade back in 72.
Yeah.
And I can remember there were some very definite changes there. But I had an opportunity to be involved in the jail evangelism. And him that hauled around, and I finally did. And the Lord opened up the door, and he blessed. And then later on, when Annie and I were married, it was 80, about 15 years later, I prayed with her to trust Christ my Savior. And I just wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? Yes. No, the Pharisee and the publican.
Yeah, right. And I know the people out there, they may say, well, I'm a preacher, I'm not a, you know, I'm not one of the religious crowd, but they're still doing the same thing. They're saying, I can't live it, I can't believe it.
Right.
The same thing.
Right.
The walks of life. But Ryan, today, I just wouldn't trade it.
Amen.
I to be the best, but I wouldn't trade it.
Amen. Anybody else? Good. Yeah, Grandma. Amen. This is Deborah's mama, Mrs. Cochran. Amen. Amen. Almost heaven. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because it's cold afterwards. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. 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 Let's give her a great hand. Tremendous.
I've slipped a few times through the
years. Yeah, we all have.
Right now, I feel like the Lord's with me all the
time. Amen. Amen. You want to know how small a world this is, Bobby? Debbie's mama grew up as a little child with Rosie's dad. She knew Rosie. They, as kids, they grew up together. Isn't that amazing? Small world, isn't it? Who else? That was great. Brian.
Well, I got saved last Sunday.
Amen. Woo, glory. Yeah.
I had ulterior motives.
Like yeah.
And you read 2 Corinthians 13:5.
Yeah.
Examine yourself when you be in a faith. And it was like some.
Prove your own self.
Nobody saw the lightning because it hit me right in the head.
Wow.
And I knew right then I needed to get saved.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Let's give him a great. He's going to get baptized today. That's great. Yes. Yeah. 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 Amen. Who else got a testimony when they got saved that want to do it? Yeah, Brother Billy. Amen. That's great. Amen. I saw a hand with, yes, ma'am. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That is tremendous. Anyone else want to stand, give a testimony? Yes, ma'am. Ferguson? Oh, wow. That's tremendous. Amen. Pastor Ferguson was the second pastor of our church. There's been seven preachers. I'm the seventh one. And that's exciting. Phoebe? As your personal safety, you're right. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Jan. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. Look at your paper. Yes, Brother Larry, go ahead. Yeah. Amen. That's tremendous. Amen, Larry. How many have got this paper? Now, how many filled it out? Boy, I'd love to, if you could, well, I'd love to read them. If you would do something to me at the end of class, if you would pass those in, I'm just going to take them home and read them. And I promise I'll give them back to you next week. Would you let preacher read each one of them? And then look at this here. By the way, if you think you're saved and you can't write nothing in this box, you better examine yourself like Brian did last week. Amen. Every person that's saved, you know where you got saved. Amen. Salvation is not a hope so. Salvation is a no so. I'm not hoping I get to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. Amen. I didn't deserve to go to heaven. I'm not working my way to get to heaven. I'm not good enough to go to heaven. But because I trusted Christ as my Savior, by His promise, I'm going to heaven. And if you've never done that, you need to do that. It's not religion. It's not being a good person. It's knowing that you need Christ, and you literally, personally, like Phoebe, personally ask Christ to save her. You got to get a one-on-one. You got to examine yourself. Do I really need Christ? See, the thief on the cross, he said, hey, get us down if you're the Christ. But the other one said, man, I need you. I believe you are the Christ. Remember me when you come in your... He said, today you're going to be in paradise with me. And real quickly, did someone counsel with me when I was saved? Be honest with you, no one did. I was by myself. Rosie was in bed sleeping, and I was at home. But no, a lot of times people do counsel with you. Did I ever make a public profession of Christ? I did, but not right away. And I want to share this with you. Here's what happened. See, I was all, Brian, they thought this Rich Skyver, this kid that's the hood off of Galena Street, they heralded me already because they thought it was a tremendous thing that a kid like, I was supposed to have been saved. They were putting me up like, boy, this guy's going to be something. And they had like they had a great prize from God, you know, that a kid from the streets would get saved. Well, I was afraid to tell people. Yes, Freddie.
You know, I remember you preached that message, and that's the day I got saved.
Yes.
You were saved.
Yep. I remember you coming forward. Yep. I do. I remember. Yeah, and you. Yes, amen. Amen. But I remember that day you came forward. I really do, Fred. The Lord showed it to him. And that's why this is so important, these Bible lessons. Next week we're going to get on baptism. But this, yeah, hold on. I don't care about the bell. I want to talk to you. This is more important. That's why you need to get this settled. You know what? Bring these back with you next week. But I'm going to take maybe 10 minutes next week to finish this. And then we'll start number two, and I'll give you a brand new sheet. Let's bow our heads in prayer. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here today and you've never, maybe you, after hearing these people talk about how they really got saved, and maybe you've never really had that personal experience. You might have been baptized, you might have been a member of a church, or you might have said a prayer, but you never realized in your heart that you were a lost soul going to hell. You never realized that you really needed Jesus to invite him into your heart to save your soul. And right now, when no one's looking, right now, when no one's, and just God looking into your heart, right now, right where you're at, you could say this prayer if you want Christ to save you. Lord Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, and I believe, Jesus, you died just for me. Jesus, I believe you rose that third day. Come into my heart. Save my soul from hell. Take me to heaven when I die. Jesus, I'm trusting you right now as my Savior. I'm putting my faith in you right now. And I'm asking you to save me in Jesus' name. Amen. No one looking around. No one looking around. I wonder, and I won't come to you. But I wonder, did anyone just now say that prayer? If you did, raise your hand. I want to see it. Did anyone? Yes, ma'am. God bless. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Amen. Raise them up higher where Peter can see them. Yes. Yes. Praise God. Amen. Bless your heart. I see two ladies that just on one each side trusted Christ. And maybe I didn't see all the hands. But praise God. If you meant that from your heart, God saved you, you're a child of God, and you're going to heaven. Because Jesus said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've asked him and you meant it from your heart, he saved you. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for the two ladies just now that have trusted Christ. What a tremendous day for me, Father, just knowing these ladies are going to be in heaven. And Father, I believe the other ones have already trusted you. So, Father, we thank you for this great Bible lesson and helping us to examine. Thank you for Brian being saved last week. And bless us in the church service, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we'll break for about...